Today on The Journey.
Do you have confidence in God's Word? So much confidence that you're willing to live by it. Do you have so much confidence that this is a Word of God? Would you be willing to die for it?
Where does the Bible fit in the context of truth and life? Does it really matter? And is it truly reliable? Today, Ron Moore offers that context so that you can discover the importance of God's Word for every circumstance and every need. Also, we want to send you a copy of Ron's downloadable booklet, The Greatest Text Message. It contains short meditations that direct your thoughts to the Word of God and the God of the Word. The Greatest Text Message is available for a donation of any amount, and you'll find it at ronmoore.org. Your gift today will help further this ministry of developing followers of Jesus Christ. Now here's Ron with The Bible's Context on The Journey.
Is the Bible more than just a good literary work? Is it the work of man, or is it the Word of God? Now some of you who would conclude, oh, it's the Word of God, let me ask you some questions. With all the different writers, how can this book be God's Word and not simply a collection of stories, some myth, some historical accounts? How can I trust this book when I live in this fast-paced, technology-driven world? How can I trust this book when the last entry was handwritten on either parchment or animal skin 2,000 years ago? How can I trust the integrity of a book written over a span of 1,500 years by 40 different authors in 3 different languages, written on 3 different continents? What gives me the confidence that these are the only books that should be in there? How can I know that these were collected and compiled and distributed with integrity? And by the way, Moses wrote the first 5 books, didn't he? How did he know about creation? He wasn't there. You see, is the Bible really a book I can stake my life and eternity on? We're going to begin a series that is going to attempt to address these questions. These are important questions. These are questions being asked. Are you going to be able to speak with confidence that this book you believe in, this book you stake your life and eternity on, is a book of integrity? We believe that these questions deserve thoughtful and careful answers. Whether you're a skeptic or whether you're stuck, or whether you just have some query, it is okay to question and challenge the Word of God. Because we are confident that when your confusion leads you to challenge Scripture with an honest and open mind, truly trying to figure out what Scripture is about and what this God of the Bible is about, when your confusion leads you to challenge it, your challenge will lead you to confidence in God's Word. Confusion leads to challenge, and challenge leads to confidence. Take your Bibles and turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. And just as you're turning there, let me set the context. This is a letter written by the Apostle Paul to a man named Timothy. Paul first met Timothy on his second missionary journey when he was traveling to a little town called Lystra. And as he got into the town, he heard from other believers that Timothy was a godly individual, that Timothy had a sincere and bold faith. And so Paul took to Timothy. He became a companion of his. He became a partner in ministry. He traveled with Paul. In fact, Paul calls him in 1 Timothy 1:2, my true son in the faith. Paul wrote this letter to Timothy from prison. In fact, it's the last letter he wrote. It's Paul's second imprisonment. He knows he's going to die. He says, "For I'm already being poured out like a drink offering, and my time has come for my departure." So here Paul is sending this letter to Timothy, who's going to take the baton and he's going to run the next leg of the race in the early Christian church. So he's speaking from his heart to Timothy. Look what he says in chapter 3, verse 10. Timothy, you, however, know all about my teaching. You've been with me, Timothy. You know my way of life. You have traveled with me. You know my purpose. You know my faith. You know my patience. You know my love. You know my endurance. Timothy, you know my persecutions because you've been there with me in sufferings. What kind of things happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra? The persecutions I endured, yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. In fact, Timothy, you know that everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evil men and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. Look at verse 14. But as for you, Timothy, as for you, continue in what you have learned and have been convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it. And how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. And look at verse 16. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching and rebuking and correcting and training in righteousness, so that, here's the purpose, Timothy, so that the man of God, generic, the woman of God, will be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Now, we're going to take those verses, 2 Timothy 3, 16 to 17. We encourage you to memorize them. And we're going to work our way through those verses in this series. And what I want to do is just to go through and give us a brief overview of where we're headed. What are the critical components we're going to be looking at so that we can walk away from this series with complete confidence in the Word of God, and not just personal confidence, but the confidence to be able to share with others, yeah, here we have confidence in this book, and here's why. We're going to focus on the first line of 2 Timothy 3:16. All Scripture is God-breathed. Now, what does Paul mean when he says God breathed? It's the Greek word theonoustos. He uses it only one time in Scripture. He reserves that word for Scripture. Now, there are 40 different authors that write this book, 1,500 years span of time, three different languages. You know how confusing that can be to go from one language to another, all kinds of different continents and culture. How can this book be God breathed? What's that mean? How can it have continuity? What does it mean that it is inspired by the living God? We're going to consider how the Scriptures were copied and transmitted and distributed. Now, we do not have anywhere in the world an original copy of Scripture. Nowhere in the world is there the parchment or the animal skin that Paul wrote his second letter on. So we are depending on copies of copies. How did that happen? How can we make certain that what Paul wrote Timothy in 65 AD when he wrote this last letter, how can we make certain that the words he wrote, given to a carrier, taken over to Ephesus where Timothy was from Rome, how can we make certain that these are the words recorded here in our translation of Scripture? How can we have confidence that this is God's Word? Believing the Bible. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. Here we're going to look at teaching and rebuking. Here are the doctrines of Scripture. These doctrines come from the 66 books that we have in our Bible. That begs the question, who decided these 66 books were in there? And how did they make that decision? And then we're going to look at the doctrines that come from those books that have been handed down through history to us today. Sometimes they were put into creeds, like the Apostles' Creed, the Nicene Creed, a body of doctrine that we hold to. We're going to focus on the last two words in 2 Timothy 3:16. All Scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. Now, it's one thing for you to say, oh, I believe the Bible. I believe it's true. I have confidence in it. It's another thing for you to live it. This book is for correction and training in righteousness. And one of the reasons our culture is messed up as it is because the church has been anemic in putting forth God's word as his word. But the church has also been anemic in following what God's word says to do. All scripture is God-breathed, useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Don't you want to be thoroughly equipped for every good work? Don't you want to be ready with an answer? Don't you want to be thoroughly equipped when you go do your business and when you live your life and when you do marriage and when you do parenting and when you do all the things you do, so that you can live this life and you can do these things in a way that are pleasing to God? Thoroughly equipped. Cell phones. I used to hate these things with a passion. And it drove me absolutely crazy when I was out to lunch with someone and they said, oh, wait, 1 second. Let me take this. Be right back. Okay, I don't have anything to do. I'll just sit here and wait on you. Lori and I shared a phone for a long time until our daughter Brittany went off to college 4 years ago. We decided at that point to get a family plan so that we could be in contact with her. It was important to us. And so we went through all the stuff on range and minutes and when your minutes didn't count after a certain hour of the day on an odd day of the month if you were wearing green or something like that. But as I worked through my confusion on that, as I challenged this thing, when I handed that cell phone to her and we dropped her off at college, it gave me great confidence that now we could get a hold of each other and talk with each other, because that was really important. More important to me than to her, but it was important. So I challenged this thing, and as I worked through it and learned about it, I gained confidence. About the time I was getting comfortable with the cell phone, another thing started getting popular: text messaging. Two of our kids were really good at it, and could actually text while they were talking to you. And I hated that. And then Garrison, our next child, went off to college. And first year he played football. And we dropped him off on a hot day in a musty old dorm. And he didn't know a soul. And already with the heavy emotion of dropping off another kid, that's tough. Some of you guys know what that is. I didn't call, but I started learning to text. You see, my confusion in texting was challenged. I wanted to talk to my son. And so I challenged the text messaging thing and learned to do it. And I would send him Bible verses. And he would send back notes. And we would talk to each other during those times. And I started enjoying texting. I really did. In fact, I've been texting during this whole sermon. You didn't even know it, did you? I enjoy texting, man. I text my kids, and they text me all the time. Every kid except Mackenzie, because you see, she's the only fifth grader in Peter's Township and maybe the entire world who doesn't have a phone. You parents can relate to this. There have been times when the kids were supposed to be in. And I remember one incident not long ago. The weather had gotten really bad that night. And they weren't coming. And only a parent can know that borrowed worry feeling that gets in your gut. And I tried to call and no response, so I text. And I remember when that text came back, that little doo-doo. Man, that's just made my day. And I was able to go to sleep with confidence. You see, when you're confused about something and you challenge it, if it's the real thing, your challenge will lead you to confidence. It's hard for me to imagine, but God loves me more than I love my children, and same with you. Can you imagine that? He loves us so much that He would send His Son to die for us, but not only that, He loves us so much that He would write us love letters so that we would know with confidence how much He loves us. So we would know with confidence how we can love Him. So we could know with confidence what this life is all about and how we can enjoy Him now and enjoy Him forever. And we can have the same confidence a man named Spiritus did, a man who lived in 100 A.D. in Sicilian, North Africa. He was a silversmith, and he was a leader in the church of Sicilium. And as a leader, he was the one in charge of the letters that had been passed around. In a cedar chest, he had the scrolls. He lived in a time of great persecution. Marcus Aurelius was the emperor during that time. And Marcus Aurelius blamed the Christians for a famine that was going on. And he was having them persecuted. They would be put on racks, if you can imagine, put on racks and then dragged down into beds of spikes. So a messenger came one day to tell him that the soldiers were coming. So he ran to that cedar chest and he tried to figure out, what am I going to do with God's word? So he decided to put it in a satchel. Do I take it with me? Do I leave it here? Do I hide it? What do I do with God's word? And Spiritus decided, you know what? Maybe it'll be just safe out in the open. So he put it in that satchel. He heard the soldiers coming. He heard the pronouncement at his front door that they were there for him. He kissed his wife and his children goodbye, and he went out to meet the soldiers so his family would stay safe. They took Spiritus to a cell, like a dungeon. And when he got there, he found out why he had taken the Word of God with him. You see, there were 11 other Christians from Sicilian that were captured as well and put in that dungeon. And together, 7 men and 5 women, they were able to sing and pray. And the best thing, they are able to read the Word of God together. That was April of 180 A.D. Marcus Aurelius died the month before, and a man named Commodus was the emperor. And the word around was that Commodus had a concubine who had become a Christian, and he was more lenient to Christians. And so they sat in that dungeon just praying that maybe this rule of Commodus would go over and they would be released. And as important as they wanted to be released to get back to their family, they thought they could take the Word of God back, because the Word of God was in scarce commodity. But that didn't happen. In July, they were taken to Carthage, present-day Tunisia. And 6 of the 12 were examined on July the 17th by the proconsul. Images of the emperor were brought in and incense was brought in the hall so that these individuals could pay homage to the pagan gods and escape with their lives. The proconsul told Spiritus that he could just gain his freedom if he would bow before the gods, swear by the genius of our Lord the Emperor. And Spiritus thought of Paul's admonition to Timothy. He had been reading in prison Paul's last letter, and he said, I cannot worship the God of this world, but rather I serve that God whom no man has seen, nor these eyes can see. I know my Lord, the King of kings and the Emperor of nations. Do you truly believe this? The proconsul asked. Don't you understand this will mean your death? And one of the others with him said, we fear nothing and no one except the Lord God who is in heaven. Then the proconsul looked at Spiritus and he said, hey, what do you have in your satchel? And Sardis said, books and the epistles of Paul, a just man. The proconsul took Sardis' belief that his holding to the writings of Paul was a capital offense against Rome, and said, these men and women, having confessed that they live according to the Christian rite, and having refused the opportunity to return to the traditions of Rome, are to be put to the sword. And you know how those men and women of Siloam responded? Thanks be to God. The fame of the Siloam martyrs spread throughout the empire. You know why? Here were men and women willing to die for Jesus Christ. But there was something else. Here were men and women who had such confidence in the Word of God that they were willing to die for it as well. And the other Christian said, man, we can have confidence in this too. So let me ask you a couple questions as we close. Do you have confidence in God's Word? So much confidence that you're willing to live by it. Are you willing to do what it says, even when it's really difficult, and even when you would rather do something else? Are you willing to live by it? But here's the second question. Do you have so much confidence that this is a word of God, that if the soldiers came to your house, would you be willing to die for it? Through this series, I pray that we have confidence that we would say yes to both. I'm willing to live by it, and yeah, I would most definitely be willing to die for it, as many, many, many Christians have done throughout history, so that we could hold this book in our hand today.
And please stay with us. Ron returns in a few moments with a special offer. Have you ever had an Emmaus Road experience? A moment when the scriptures blazed with new understanding and you knew God had spoken to your soul? And now, looking back, you can exclaim along with the Emmaus disciples, were not our hearts burning within us while he was speaking to us on the road? Well, Ron Moore wants you to look forward to such moments in the days ahead. He takes you to that place in his PDF devotional, The Greatest Text Message. There, in bite-sized meditations, Ron lays a solid foundation for the authority of the Bible. You'll discover the men God used to communicate his word, the supernatural preservation of the scriptures down through the centuries, and a new call to embrace its living truth. A downloadable copy of The Greatest Text Message is yours for a gift of any amount when you visit ronmoore.org. Again, that web address is ronmoore.org. Your gift today will help keep the journey on the air, developing followers of Jesus Christ. Now, here's Ron to talk about a special offer for your church.
Hey, I want to thank you so much for listening to The Journey. I pray these messages have been encouraging to you. And I just want to share with you, here at The Journey Ministry, we want to do more than simply provide podcasts and broadcasts to our listeners. Our desire is to walk alongside churches and encourage pastors and church leaders. We would love to help you with resources like sermons or discipleship material. And we'd like to encourage you as you lead your church. I've had the privilege of leading the Bible Chapel for 30 years, and I can tell you, I don't have all the answers, but I'd love to encourage you, and I'd love to pray with you as we work together in this greater Pittsburgh area. So send me an email at ronmoore@ronmoore.org, ronmoore@ronmoore.org, and let's just talk, because we believe no leader should have to lead alone.
Again, that address is ron@ronmoore.org. Also, remember to drop by our website and get your copy of Ron's PDF devotional titled The Greatest Text Message. Moments spent in its pages will set your heart ablaze with the truth of God's Word. The Greatest Text Message is available for a gift of any amount when you visit us at ronmoore.org. ronmoore.org. Plus, we invite you to have a look at our church website at biblechapel.org. There you'll find information about our online worship services and special events, along with Ron's recent sermons, devotional thoughts, and podcasts. Again, that address is biblechapel.org. Biblechapel.org. And if the journey has made a difference in your spiritual life, won't you invite your friends and family to listen as well? We'll thank you, and we think they will too. Finally, please keep in mind that the journey relies on your generous donations to remain on the air, developing followers of Jesus Christ. Your gift today will be deeply appreciated. You can give at ronmoore.org, or you may call 724-731-2018. Thanks for listening, and we invite you to join Ron Moore next time as we walk together on the journey.